those days. You've all heard the expression, what goes around comes around. And normally we tend to use it in a negative way. You know, that, well, you did something to someone, and well, now something bad is going to happen to you. But it's not always the case, because the same is true on the other direction as well. When we do good, hopefully good then happens to us. There once lived a poor Scottish farmer, and he was out in the field one day working when he started hearing some cries for help, and he put down his farming tools and he ran over and he came across a young man, young boy actually, stuck in a big mud pit. It was already up to his waist, and the farmer was able to reach forward and grab and pulled that young boy out of the mud and ultimately saved his life. The next day, a fancy carriage pulls up to the farmer's door, and a well-dressed older gentleman gets out, and the farmer comes out, and the visitor, a nobleman, says to the farmer, "You saved my son's life yesterday. I would like to repay you." And the farmer says, I don't need to be repaid for that. And at that moment, the farmer's young son came to the door, and the nobleman said, "Is that your son?" And the farmer said, "Yes, that is." And the nobleman said, "Well, tell you what, let me provide for your son an education. Let me take him and give him an education, and I trust that if he's like you, he will grow up to be a fine young boy, fine young man." He did that. And Fleming's son, the farmer's name, by the way, was Fleming. Fleming's son went on and ended up graduating from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School. And in fact, that young man grew up to become, well, he always was, but Alexander Fleming, the man who invented penicillin. Some years later, the nobleman's son was seriously ill. His life was saved by penicillin. The nobleman's name, by the way, was Randolph Churchill. Yeah. His son was Sir Winston Churchill. You never know what kind deed you do today can come back, not only to repay you, but then to repay many others down the line. The seed that we sow will come back. Paul, in writing to the church in Corinth regarding that same thing, he's writing about an offering that he's taking for the church in Jerusalem. And he's encouraging the Corinthians to give, to contribute toward that offering. And so he uses the churches in Macedonia as examples to encourage them. So shall we read together from 2 Corinthians 8? Verses 1 through 5. "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonia churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." Well, that's the background of the scripture. Paul continues in verses 6 through 11. Shall we read that together? Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So you will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. I just jumped ahead a little bit in the scriptures, but basically Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, look at what these other churches are doing. They're experiencing trials. They're enduring poverty, and yet not only were they willing to give, they gave generously. In fact, they were begging to the privilege to be able to give. Can you imagine being in that situation? And so Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, just follow that example. And we know that they did. Paul was able to collect an offering from various churches and bring it to Jerusalem to help them in their need. These believers were joyful in being able to participate in this offering. And they could do so because they had first given themselves to the Lord. They didn't say, we need to take care of ourselves first. They didn't say, well, let's see what we've got left over and then maybe we can give something to the offering. Paul says they gave generously even in their poverty and that was in keeping with God's will. I think it may be safe to say, if we are not willing to be generous with what God has given us, can we expect God to continue providing more? Can you imagine a farmer going out into the field, right? He goes out every day and he's looking to see if the crop is coming up. And a neighbor sees him and goes over and says, what seeds did you plant? And he says, I didn't plant any seeds. I'm just waiting for something to grow. Well, I don't know. My bet is he could get dandelions, crabgrass maybe. Paul says, those who plant sparingly cannot hope for anything but a meager harvest. So there's the principle, basically. We reap what we sow. And that's true not only in farming, but it's also in other areas as well. When we treat people kindly, they hopefully will treat us kindly. If we are honest, we will be rewarded. In the Far East, there was an emperor who was getting older, and he recognized that his time was soon to come, and so he decided that it was time to appoint the next emperor. But he doesn't appoint one of his own sons or even one of his servants. He calls together all the youth of the kingdom, and he gets them all together, And he says, I have decided to appoint one of you to be the next emperor. I'm going to give each of you one special seed. And I want you to take that seed and plant it, water it, take care of it, and in 1 year, come back and show me what you have grown. The children were shocked. One boy was named Ling. He took his seed, and he was all excited, and he went home and told his mother all about what had happened. And she helped him get a pot, planted the seed, watered it, and every day he would carefully take care of that seed and water it, and every day was watching to see what was going to grow. And after about 3 weeks, there was nothing. 4 weeks, still nothing. By 5 weeks, the other young people who were there were starting to talk about the plants that were growing for them, talking about, you know, how beautiful it was starting to look and how tall it was getting to be. And Ling kept checking his seed, and more time went by, and still nothing was growing. Finally, the year went by, and it was time to bring his pot back to the emperor. And he didn't want to. He was ashamed to go back to the emperor and just show an empty pot. But his mother said, you know, you need to be honest. Bring it back. And so he did. And he got there, and all the other youth were there with their plants. And some of them were beautiful flowers. Others were tall trees. And Ling is just so embarrassed. And he's standing in the back of the big room trying to hide a little bit. And the emperor comes in and looks around and says, you know, wow, what an incredible variety of plants. And Ling is just getting sick to his stomach as he sees all the other plants the youth have produced. Well, the emperor is looking around, and suddenly he notices Ling standing way in the back with an empty pot beside him, and he sends his soldiers to bring Ling up to the front. And now Ling is getting very nervous, thinking, I failed. I'm going to be revealed as a loser, and maybe he's even going to kill me. And he doesn't know what to expect. And he gets in front of the emperor, and the emperor looks at him and says, what's your name? And he says, Ling. And the emperor looks up to the crowd of the other youth and says, I would like to introduce to you all your new emperor, Ling. And of course, now they're going, what? And the emperor says, a year ago, I gave each of you a seed. But all of those seeds had been boiled. None of them would be able to grow and produce any kind of a plant. Ling is the only one willing to be honest and brave enough to come and present his seed that I gave him. All the rest of you, you substituted other seeds for the ones I gave you. Ling is the new emperor. We get what we sow. What matters is our perspective. Paul is encouraging us, as well as the church in Corinth, to have the right perspective. And he's saying that proper giving begins with our hearts and our minds, that first we give ourselves to God, being willing to say, Lord, everything I have is from you. I'm just returning some of it. We can be open and honest with God. He already knows. But the perspective is that God has already given us what we have. He's not going to quit. He's not going to say, okay, your quota's over, that's it, no more food for you. He's not going to say, yep, I've already given you too much. No. He gave us his son, Jesus Christ. And Paul says, will he not give us all that we need? We're to give joyfully, Paul says, as the church in Macedonia did. We have a choice. What is our perspective? You know, we can give reluctantly or not at all, or we can give joyfully. Thomas Carlyle tells how when he was a boy, a beggar came to the door and his parents were out. But Thomas went to his closet, took out his little savings bank, and he gave the beggar everything that was in it. And he says that never before or since did he know such sheer happiness as came to him in that moment. There is indeed a joy in giving. Not only does it give us joy, but those to whom we give and to God. Did you know that you can make God joyful when he sees us acting in a way that honors him? So what is our perspective when we give? We have a promise. The promise is that God will provide all that we need. Or as Paul said, God is able to make all grace abound to you. If you remember back a little while ago, our Old Testament reading, David is speaking to all the crowds in Jerusalem, and they've been collecting materials and gold and silver for building the temple that Solomon, his son, would build. And David is looking at the gifts the people have brought, and he's overwhelmed because the people have been giving so generously. And David began by praising God. And then he says, who are we that we were able to give so generously? And he recognizes that everything they had come from God. He affirms that God is already in charge of heaven and earth. God's supply will never run out. We'll never come to God's food cupboard and find it empty. Instead, God promises that he always gives us enough. But he does that so that in all things and at all times, we will be able to give to others. He knows what we need. Sometimes he supplies that need through somebody else. Sometimes he'll use us to meet somebody else's need. Paul says again in a promise that God will supply and increase your store of seed. During difficult times, farmers may have a bag of seed, but they're reluctant to plant it all because they're afraid, you know, if there's a bad harvest, they want to keep that in reserve, perhaps. And Paul was saying, God will provide the seed. Take the seed you have and plant it. Do something with it. Jesus told a parable about a farmer who had a bumper crop. God provided him an overwhelming harvest. And that farmer decided, I'm going to put it all in my barn. I'm even going to make bigger barns so that I can have that for a rainy day. You know, just in case I need it, I'll have more than enough. No thought about the neighbor who was hungry. No thought about that poor person down the road that was going without, from what we know. And of course, you know the parable, I trust. He never got to enjoy that harvest. He died that night. Or the parable of the talents that we heard earlier. One servant given approximately, we'll say $10,000, another five and another one. And the first two took that money and they did something with it. Now, one brought back another 10,000. The second one only brought back 5,000. But the third person said, I was afraid. I was afraid I might lose it. I was afraid that I wouldn't do anything with it. So I basically hid it. I think the application is obvious. The promise that Paul continues to go on in our reading, that God will make us rich in every way. Not only in material blessings, but in spiritual blessings. When we give to help somebody else, it makes us feel joyful. It makes us feel that we're doing some good in this world, that we are letting God's light shine through us. And that's the purpose. See, God gives us all that we have, not just for ourselves. Yes, he's going to meet our needs, but he meets more than our needs so that we can help meet someone else's. Paul says that when we give, we will abound in every good work. The Corinthians' giving would help meet the needs of the church in Jerusalem. Paul says, the purpose of God's giving is so that we can be generous on every occasion. And that will result in thanksgiving to God. So that people will see our lives, see our light, and say, wow, thank you, God. If we are generous, it enables others to see that we have turned our Christian faith not only into words, but deeds. We will have given them a reason to praise and give thanks to God. Paul's words to the church in Corinth are relevant to us today as well. There's needs around us in our community, in our world. And God has called us to use what God's given us, not only for ourselves, but for all of those that we can help. We must be willing then, as cheerful givers, to decide that we're going to use those gifts that God has given us for his kingdom and the work of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have blessed us. You have given us what we need and over. You are abundant in your giving when we are willing to use that in your name, to help others, to show your love. To whom much has been given, much is expected. But to those who use those gifts wisely, more is given. We thank you, Father, for your promise, for your faithfulness, for your love. May we reflect that in all that we do. Amen.